him in his pattern. I think the nicest thing I ever did for Dad was that through some quirk of fate, I was able to marry a man who fit into Dad's dream. Miller certainly looked the part. A trim 6'5", with dark hair, broad shoulders, blue eyes, and a perpetual tan from his frequent golf outings. He and Diane owned the Silverado Vineyard in the Napa Valley, a ski house in Aspen, and they and their 7 children lived in John Wayne's former house in Encino. He drove a Rolls-Royce and the vintage white and gray Mercedes that had been Walt's favorite car. Although Roy was the largest individual shareholder of Disney, with about 3% of the company's stock, the Walt side of the family, allied with Miller, controlled a total of about 11%, divided among Walt's widow Lillian, Diane, and Sharon, and various trusts, which gave them effective control of the company. Now that Walker was chairman, it didn't help Roy's standing that his father had once tried to have Walker fired. Walker and Miller did little to conceal their low esteem for Roy, brushing aside his ideas for films and excluding him from any role in decisions. For Roy, the breaking point came in 1977, a year after Miller was named to head the studio. Roy's lawyer and business partner, Stanley Gold, suggested that Roy leave the company but continue as an independent producer for Disney. In contrast to the mild-mannered Roy, Gold was short, stocky, restless, filled with pent-up energy, and aggressive by nature. His weight fluctuated with his latest diet. He punctuated his speech with profanities. He'd grown up in modest circumstances in South Central Los Angeles, attended public school, Berkeley, and UCLA, and then law school at Oxford and the University of Southern California. When he joined the law firm of Gang, Tier, and Brown as a new associate, he was assigned to work with Frank Wells, one of whose clients was Roy Disney, a former classmate of Wells at Pomona College. After Wells left the firm to help run Warner Brothers, responsibility for Roy's interests descended to Gold. Though Gold bore little resemblance to the polished Wells, Roy recognized in him qualities that he himself lacked. Gold's first deal for Roy was the acquisition of a ranch in Oregon with Peter Daly, Patty Disney's brother, and their children. Gradually, Gold expanded his work for Roy, eventually forming Shamrock Holdings to manage Roy's assets. Soon, Roy was confiding in Gold, not just about financial matters such as Disney's faltering share price, but also his worries about Miller and the studio. Roy and Gold met with Walker to discuss Roy's departure and to seek approval for a modest production deal. "What do you want to do, Roy?" Walker asked sarcastically. "Make Deep Throat?" Roy sat in shocked silence at this mention of pornography. Gold jumped in. "We're just trying not to do the love bug for the 15th time," referring to Disney's 1968 film about a Volkswagen Beetle named Herbie, the last time the studio had a hit. Roy had always known that Walker didn't like or respect him. He knew that he was the one who had dubbed him the idiot nephew, but he didn't understand why Walker had to insult him. On March 4, 1977, the 47-year-old Roy resigned from the company bearing his name with a letter expressing his frustrations. "The creative atmosphere for which the company has so long been famous, and on which it prides itself, has, in my opinion, become stagnant," he wrote. "I do not believe it is a place where I, and perhaps others, can realize our creative capacity."